final shiur discussing the great tzaddik of Rabbi Leiger. And I apologize for the interruptions. As Hashem, next week we're going to start to learn about the Yid HaKadosh, the Holy Jew from Peshischa. The Holy Jew from Peshischa and the whole roots, the beginnings of Polish Hasidus. And that will take us to discuss the Tzaddik's life, or the events. It will take us at least, say, probably 4 or 5 weeks before we learn some of his Torahs. Leaving Reb Leibler is a very hard thing for me to do because I feel very connected to his Torahs already for many years. And the whole Tachlis, as I've always said, in these shiurim is just to give a little bit of a taste. Each Tzaddik has a different flavor, a different approach, a different way of looking, but they're all drinking from the same well, from the same fountain of the Holy Baal Shem Tov. So I wanted to end on a good note, on Purim. So to get ready for Purim by learning a few of the Torahs from Reb Leibler on this inyan of Purim. So the first page there, you see where I made some asterisks there. Mechayev initial tsumi v'pura ad liyada ben araham l'baruch Mordechai. This is the most quoted halacha, so to speak, in all of Hilchos Purim. It's not the halacha, all the halachas of the details of Kriyas and Megillah are not as well known as the statement that is found in the Gemara, that a person is chayiv to intoxicate himself on Purim to the point that he is not able to distinguish between cursed is Haman and blessed is Mordechai. Chayiv initial tsumi v'pura ad liyada ben araham l'baruch Mordechai. Obviously, it's such a remarkable, shocking statement that it must contain within it, it must reveal the essence of what the Holy Antiv is about. And we see from the Svarma Kedoshim that it does. And here is a real classic Reb Leibler, and how he explains this inyan, this obligation of whatever this means, to drink to the point of losing this distinction, of not being able to tell the difference between cursed is Haman and blessed is Mordechai. What does that mean? This is something very extraordinary. Give us chizik. He's a pashtus in yilavasuma helios besimcha. The simple meaning, actually, people often mistranslate this. Vesume does not mean to get drunk. Chayiv initial vesume does not mean that you're chayiv to get drunk. He says pashtus, the pashtus is that a person has to become, that a person has to, is obligated to reach a state of elation, a state of emotional elation. Chayiv initial vesume bepuria. So, the Yeshlavin, Ech Yitachin al Zed Lashon Chiyuv. How can you, what does it mean to obligate a person? How do you obligate a person to be in a state of emotional intoxication? How do you obligate a person to be in such a madrega? So the simple understanding, therefore, is, well, you get smashed. You drink, and the drinking will bring the person to that state. It's not within man's reach. In other words, to actually be besimcha. You could say, in other words, we engage in acts that will bring us to more simcha. We try to be besamachta b'chagecha on yontiv. We also, halacha tells us what we should do in order to have more simcha on yontiv. But mechayiv inishle v'sume, that a person has chayiv to become high on Purim. How can you obligate a person to feel a certain way? Ki hasimcha ha'amitis, because true joy, he is pailus ha'nefesh mehasagas davar hanogel le'etzem nafsho. True joy is only experienced when a person achieves or attains something that touches the very essence of his soul. Then the person has true simcha. True simcha, you take a child under the chuppah, mitzvah Hashem. That's true simcha. It touches the very depths of your soul to see a child happy, to see a child married. Something that reaches into the essence of who you are, that can make you really feel the simcha. We're not talking about a stama, an Irish guy. What kind of simcha are we talking about? Chayiv inishlev sumis, simcha means simcha amitis, true simcha. It doesn't mean that you're very happy because you're enjoying a good piece of mezainis or a drink. Hein binyana ilam hazeh. When it comes to matters of this world, me'agam b'simcha shel mitzvah shenitzruch lezeh schus me'Hashem esbarach. Now, when it comes to simcha shel mitzvah, a joy that a Jew has performing a mitzvah, it's a schus. It's really one has to be fortunate, and one has to merit that Hashem will help. Shlomo HaMelech says that to the one who is pleasing before God, Hashem will help that person feel a sense of joy when he's observing the mitzvahs. In other words, it sounds like from the pasuk that feeling a true joy when you're observing mitzvahs is something which is up to Hashem. So to help you with that, with the lulav, with the sukkah, the mitzvah, to feel a simcha. Shimatanam Hashem is baruch lemisha tayv lefanav. That this is a gift from Hashem, that Hashem gives to the one whom is pleasing in his eyes, that he gives you the ability to feel that elation, that joy, in observing the mitzvahs. U'mayase adam im lezach lezeh. And what about regular people like us? You're not zeichah for such a thing? Most of us are not worthy that Hashem should infuse us with this great excitement and joy. A tzaddik, his whole life is avodas Hashem, is serving Hashem with unbelievable devotion. All of his energy is poured into serving Hashem. So Hashem gives him this additional help to feel how a mitzvah touches the person to the very depths, and to feel that simcha. But what about a person who's not on such a madrega, on such a level? How could the Gemara come along and obligate a person to feel this deep joy of chayav inish levisumi v'puri on Purim? So he says, Om namal zeh gufa amru chazal. This is exactly what Chazal are coming to teach us. Chayav inish levisumi v'puri. What does it mean, this chiyav, this obligation of levisumi v'puri? Haynu shelo yisyai shum odem be'atzmo. Reb Leibler says that it is forbidden for a Jew to give up hope. A person is not allowed to be misyayish. Gam imroa benavsho, even though he is seen with himself. Kama palmim shelo ola biyodo kahogen ukeshura. Even though he's seen in his own life many times that he's tried to be a good Jew, he's tried to behave in accordance with halacha and to do the right thing, and then it hasn't succeeded. It's happened many times that he's failed. So Rav Leibler says yischazik ba'atzmo. He must strengthen himself, shelo yipol midaito, that he shouldn't fall into despair, he shouldn't give up hope. Raku yaseh shelo. So the Leibler says, what's the job of a Jew? Hu yaseh shelo. Don't think back about the failures of the past. That there were many times that you said you're going to do something, you're going to come to a certain level, and you're going to avoid certain things that are wrong, and it failed. Rav Leibler says, that's not your business. Don't think about the past and come to the conclusion that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not pleased with me and there's no point in trying again. What should you do? He says, Raku yaseh shelo. You do what you can do. Right now, today, you do what you're able to do. Ula yimtza chein be'en of yisbarach me'ata. That perhaps you will find grace and charm in Hashem's eyes. From now on, lios adam shetayv lefonav. You don't know, Rav Leibler is saying, you don't know. It could be 1,000 times that you failed. You don't know that if you try again today, you don't know that whether or not your efforts are going to touch Hashem, so to speak, in such a way where Hashem is going to grant you that simcha, that feeling of joy, and that feeling of certainty in serving Him. You don't know that. Maybe today you're going to be considered one of those people that's in the category that Shlomo HaMelech said, shetov lefanav, who is pleasing before Hashem. V'zeo ha'loshen livisume. And this is the true meaning of the word livisume. What does that mean? Which is traditionally translated as get drunk. Rav Leibler says, listen, this is what it means. Shinyan bisum hu kamosha moshchen atzman bitsamu umbisamrukim. Bisum really means to anoint oneself with perfumes. Livasem means with spices and perfumes and to smear oneself. That's what it really means, bisum. It means to have a delicious fragrance. So, traditionally the way that we've explained that, it means the with wine, with being drunk. So Leibler says the following. Why does a person, why would one put on perfumes and spices? Could they limso chain ulehis ahev? In order to find favor in the beloved's eyes, to be loved. In other words, that there should be an attraction, that there should be some sort of an appeal, to make oneself more appealing to the other. So he says, that is the meaning, kein mechuyev kol ish Yisrael, so it is with every single Jew. He is chayev levasim atzim over mitzvah samasim toivim. You are obligated to put on the perfume, the scent of Torah mitzvahs, regardless of what's happened to you in the past. Every time you do a mitzvah, every time you learn another piece of Torah, every time you daven, any time you help another Jew, you are putting on some perfume. It's with the hope, with the intention that maybe I'll be pleasing to the one who I love. Maybe this will be appealing to the one who I love. This mitzvah might make the difference. This tefillah that I'm saying with sincerity, this might make the difference. This favor that I'm doing for another Jew, this might make the difference, because every single mitzvah, no matter what's happened to you in the past, the person's tendency to think is to think, what am I going to do another mitzvah? I stink. That's the point. God doesn't love me. And therefore, a person loses his cheshik, his desire to do the mitzvahs. And he can't feel any sense of joy. And you look around when it's a yontif, and it's supposed to be sukkah, it's supposed to be zman sim chaseinu, and everybody, you know, you're supposed to be happy, and you just, you know, you're detached. It comes to a yontif, a Pesach, the same thing, a Chanukah, you go your whole life, and you don't feel any simcha. And the main reason one doesn't feel simcha is because you're convinced that you're not that person that is tov l'funav, that is pleasing, that's appealing to Hashem. And Rav Leibler says, that's not your business, what happened in the past. Your business is to put on perfume in the present. Your business is to make yourself attractive and appealing to Hashem this moment. And the way to do that is by a mitzvah, by a tefillah, by a shtickel Torah, helping a chaver. That's what you could do. With what? Well, oh, right. You see this, Avi? It's coming up. So look, he says like this. Gam imargish benafsho shehu b'shval hamadrega. Even though he feels within himself that he is the lowest person. The lowest person. There was no way that Esther Malka could have ever expected the outcome that would lead to Vatisa chen v'chesed l'fana. That she would be so appealing and so beautiful in the eyes of Ahasuerus. There was no, and we understand that would lead to the Yeshua. So a person thinks of himself as being the Shval HaMadregen, the lowest possible place. Gami Margish Benafshashu B'Shval HaMadregen Ad Lo Yoda Ba'atzmo. Till he doesn't know, when he thinks about his own life. Here it is, Avi. When he thinks about himself and who he is, he doesn't know for sure. He doesn't know for sure. Ben Bechinas Or Hamel of Aruch Mordechai. When he thinks about himself, he doesn't know. What am I? Am I a Haman or am I a Mordechai? I have days in my life that are very Hamandic. Days that were filled with Lashon Hara, Rechilus, the bad things, terrible things. I didn't learn, I didn't daven, I did Aveiris. Then there are other days in my life that I try to be good. That they're Mordechai days. So he says, So the meaning of this is, he thinks about himself and he says, I can't find one reason why Hashem would love me and be attracted to me. I can't find anything about me that is on the level of Baruch Mordechai. That could fall into the category of blessed is Mordechai. I don't see that in my life. I don't feel it about myself. Sure, I might have done some good things, but I don't feel that in essence, I am somebody that could possibly be appealing to Hashem. Therefore, with that state of mind, one can never feel joy. Just like in a relationship. How could one feel in a relationship with another person? How could you feel good when you feel that there's no way in the world that you could be appealing or attractive to the other on any level? It's impossible. I've done so many things in the past that have made me into an Aruch Haman, to curse this Haman, that it can't be that I'm a Baruch Mordechai. It can't be. That's what it means. He can't find one midah one redeeming characteristic about himself that would render him a Baruch Mordechai type of person. He can't see it. And Reb Leibel says, this is something that we know about great tzaddikim, and he was so much like this. That the greatest tzaddikim couldn't see any difference between themselves and the worst rishayim. They used to look at themselves in such a way that they couldn't see their greatness at all. They couldn't see. How were they great? And even though thousands of people would come to them, thousands of people would come to them, they couldn't see. Why? You know, you're crazy. You know, there's a famous thing from the Chayza, I'm sure many of you heard of it, that, you know, the Chayza had a very strong misnag. It was the Rav of Lublin, the Iron Head of Lublin, the Reish HaBarzel from Lublin. The Rav of Lublin was a relentless enemy of the Chayza, the Seer of Lublin. And he once said to the Chayza, why don't you go and get up in front of the whole shul and tell the whole community and tell them the truth that you're an Am Haaretz, you're a worthless, ignorant Rasha. Tell them the truth. So the Chayza went in front of the whole community of Lublin. You can imagine thousands of people. And he started to cry. I want to tell you the truth is that I'm a worthless nobody. I'm a Rasha. I'm an Am Haaretz and so on. But then the people loved them even more. Right? They loved them even more. So then the Rav was very upset, and he said to the Chayza, so I see that the result is that the people love you even more. The Chayza just shrugged his shoulders. So he said, now, what should I do? The Chayza, what do you want from me? So he says, go back next Shabbos and get up in front of the whole Lublin and tell them that you're a big tzaddik, you're a kaddish, you're a tar, right? So that you're a holy person. So the Chayza said, listen, what you asked me last week is the truth. That I'm worthless Am Haaretz. And that I was happy to say in front of to tell the truth to the whole community, that's okay. But to ask me to get up and lie, that I can't do. So we're thinking, come on, you know, Chayza from Lublin. But the tzaddikim saw themselves. Because they looked at reality in a different way. We look at things like, I'm better than my neighbor. But the Chayza measured himself by Moshe Rabbeinu, right? He measured himself in a different way. Because to the extent that these people knew Hashem, they recognized the distance. People don't know, well, so they're far, they think that they're close. So Reb Leibel says, yeah. So Reb Leibel says, didn't work that one. So he says, the way that we've seen this by a great tzaddik, which we do want to make a tzaddik, sh'amar l'atzmam, ma'benig l'veneim, I'm no different than any Rosh. Sh'abem is l'chziku tayvel l'napsham, l'imtza b'napsham, shum yisva n'maylo, that even these great tzaddikim, they never could understand, they never saw, they never were able to see, why would Hashem possibly, what good could Hashem possibly see in a person like me? What could Hashem possibly see in something like me? Al ha'noshim agrum b'yoyse, can you imagine? So these tzaddikim would look at themselves, and they couldn't believe that there's anything, any difference between them and the lowest Rosh, that why would Hashem see anything great in me? Al ha'anosh m'gya, umi lonu godol mi dovr ha'melech alo l'sholom. And who is greater than dovr ha'melech? So yitzoye ken al nafsho. If you look at Sefer Tehillim, and you see the way David HaMelech spoke of himself. And there wasn't one exaggeration. The way David HaMelech spoke of himself. Talas v'loish, I'm a worm, I'm not even a human being. So we're thinking, halavai, we should be a worm like you, David HaMelech, right? But David HaMelech said about himself, talas v'loish, I'm not even a human being. I'm totally unworthy. Chlisib Medrash, Al-Posik Toivah, Dovei Chazav, Ani Roiv Chazdecha, When David HaMelech said, please Hashem, all those who speak Lashon Hara, all those who speak words of slander, let them be destroyed. But Hashem, I know that I'm also one of these, so I beg of you, please, only with your chesed, only for your chesed will I survive. So David HaMelech himself, he didn't have confidence that he was appealing to Hashem. And you could be certain that when David HaMelech thought about himself, that David HaMelech felt that he was an Aruhama, not a Baruch Mordechai. that he was in the category of cursed as Haman, not blessed as Mordechai. You could see that from every pasuk of Sefer Tehillim, how he saw himself. And David HaMelech didn't know, couldn't imagine that I would be somebody who's attractive, who's appealing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vim Kolzos, despite the fact that David HaMelech felt that about himself, Vim Kolzos, Lo Nofal B'Daito, he didn't give up hope. David HaMelech did not give up for a moment hope. Why? V'tomed hirhiv oz b'nafsho, limso chen b'ein of Yisborach. David HaMelech's feelings, David HaMelech felt, he felt that until now in my life, I must seem to Hashem like an Aruch Haman, like cursed as Haman, not like Baruch Mordechai. What am I going to do? There's only one thing I can do, and you know what that is? Chayiv inish levesume bepuria. Chayiv inish levesume, as Reb Leibel explained, it doesn't mean that I have to get drunk. It means that I have to anoint myself. Besume means to anoint myself, like the word besamech and the sinner interchangeable, like the word besamech, right? I have to anoint myself with what? Just like Esther Hamalka, when she was standing there, and she had been fasting, right? And there was no way that she would be appealing. And not only that, but how dare anybody enter? No one was allowed to enter into the king, unless, right? Unless the king would reach out with his golden scepter. No one's allowed. If you haven't been summoned into the king, then you have no right, and if you go into the king, you're worthy of death. Eich Oval HaMelech, she said, how dare I approach the king? So David HaMelech and all the tzaddikim have felt this feeling. How dare I approach the king? And there's only one way that a Jew gets up the courage to approach the king. With the knowledge, with the belief, that if I do something good right now, this moment, regardless of what I've done wrong in the past, but at this moment I do something right, then I have applied to myself that fragrance, that perfume of a mitzvah, of doing something right, of doing something good. Chai v'nish l'vesume b'pura ad lo yoda, that ulai, perhaps now Hashem looks at me in a different way. Just like we see that ultimately, that Esther Malka found favor in the eyes of the king. It was chayn. Chayn always means a beauty that is not earned. It means for some reason that you can't explain, like the Gemara says, Isha fil mocheres, moitzes chayn b'nei bala. That when a husband loves a wife, so the Gemara says, even though she is ugly to the rest of the world, to the husband she's beautiful. Because chayn means, that's what Chanukah is connected to it also, chayn. She was chayn, chayn, la. Chayn means that I can't explain. The rest of the world might think that your kid is a little goofy looking, but to you, right? And you can't understand how the rest of the world is not totally charmed by your child, right? And it makes no sense, and therefore, you might have your kid doing all kinds of tricks, at the table, and everybody's losing patience, and you think, boy, they're totally enthralled. They want more. The oil wants more. And people will take out pictures and show their children and grandchildren, and 90% of the time, no, Jews are nice, and they say, oh, what a beautiful child you have. It's nothing like my child or my grandchild, but you have a beautiful child, no? So we understand that would anybody come and tell a grandmother that your grandchild is not as beautiful? What kind of a chutzpah? Because you understand that to that grandmother, or to that mother, there's a chayn that is immeasurable. There's a chayn that's immeasurable. So what Rav Leibler says, that a Jew has to believe that about himself too. Chayvinus of Sumer Puri means, yeah, I messed up. Ad lo yoda, ben arham lebrach marach. And if you ask me, how do I teach myself? How would I understand the sum total of my life? Am I on the Baruch Mordechai column? Am I on the level of praised, blessed as Mordechai? Or am I a Jew who's, God forbid, in the category of cursed as Haman? And I guarantee that every one of us here most likely would say, if I have to go over everything, I would say, Hashem Yirachem, Aruch Haman. And what Rav Leibler says is, you don't know that. You don't know, and that's not your cheshbon. You have one cheshbon. Right now, anoint yourself with a mitzvah. Put on some good perfume. Because you never know. The Baruch Shalom is certainly as impressionable as Achashverosh. And since we know that HaMelech and the Megillah is really, really on the deepest level is the King of all Kings, so Esther Malka, who is really at that point, especially according to Pinnit Chazal, that says that she wasn't beautiful at all. She wasn't beautiful at all, that she was green. You know what the Chazal say? We can't accept that, because in all the Purim parties, she was always the most beautiful. In the Purim place, right?
Esther's always so beautiful, and in the coloring books and so on. But Chazal have an opinion not like that. She was beautiful. That means that to yourself you could be the ugliest person in the world. But Hamelech, the king, in the eyes of the king, a person who does a mitzvah. So he says, this is what the Rebbe explains. That David Melch never lost hope. And he had the guts. Even though he said about himself, I'm worthless, I'm a worm, I'm not a human being, all of this. So a person like that, you would think he would just curl up like a worm, and he'd never want to crawl out, he'd never go to Minyan, he'd never want to learn, he'd never go to a Shia, he would never put on tefillin again, who am I, I'm worthless, God hates me. And that David Melch, every single day he started again. Okay, what was? Hasn't been too good till now, it's been an Arahaman life until this point. But Vani Barov Chazdecha, Hashem, right now, I'm going to start learning, and I'm going to anoint myself with a perfume, and I trust in your loving kindness that maybe today, you'll find me attractive, you'll find me appealing, and you won't be able to turn me away. That's what it means, Chai Vinish L'Dasumei B'Purim. And if we would understand how we smell to Hashem on Purim, that fragrance of a Jew on Purim, where even that's why it says in this one that Purim is a yontif for the lowest, that even the lowest Jews, right? Bezeu Levesume Bapuria, that is the meaning of Levesume Bapuria. To become intoxicated on Purim. It really means to have that fragrance. To anoint ourselves. Kizeh Hoye Ikenes Purim, because that's the whole miracle of Purim. What? Lachashahoye Beshval HaMadrega, the Jews of Shushan, the Jews were Beshval HaMadrega, they were on a very low level. As you know, that they were involved in the party of Achashverosh and all other things that are described in Chazal, according to one opinion, that they were bowing down to Avodah Zarah, or even though they didn't sincerely believe in those idols, but they were still engaging in some level of idol worship. So they were on the lowest level. V'nishtabdu l'Achashverosh v'Haman, and they had become completely, with the exception of Mordechai, who refused to bow down, the rest of them were bowing down to Haman and to Achashverosh, the total loss of self-respect. And not only that, it seemed to them that in Shemayim, that in heaven, they were also looked down upon as being on the lowest level. Because why? After all, because the king, after all, HaMelech, Achashverosh, did take off the royal, did use the royal ring to seal the fate of the Jewish people, that every Jew in Shushan would be killed, and all the 127 provinces would be killed. And we know that HaMelech means Hashem. And Chazal tell us that means that the King of all kings himself sealed the fate of the Jewish people, that they're worthy of death. That's what he says. Kiddush Asars Tabas HaMelech V'chol Anyonim Sh'nizku V'Megillah HaYakein La'ilah, that it was taking place above with the king, Hashem. Him calls us L'Noflu M'daitim. They didn't give up hope. Look at them. These people who saw themselves as that God himself has agreed to destroy the Jewish people. And they didn't stop. What did they do? Lo yisyaishu ba'atzmam, they didn't give up hope. They didn't despair. K'mo shenemar Mordechai lo yichrav lo yishtachva. Mordechai would not bow down. Mordechai would not give in. And not only that, he led the rest of the Jewish people with fasting, with davening, despite all the shortcomings. V'lo yinemar, it doesn't say in the Pasuk in the Megillah, lo yikarav lo yishtachva. He didn't in the past tense. He didn't bow down in the past. He didn't submit himself to Haman in the past tense. It says, Rak Loshan Asid, whatever might have gone wrong until now, in the future I will not bow down to him. And every Jew could do that. Whatever I've bowed down to in the past in my life, and any mistakes that I've made, from now on, I refuse to bow down. Rak Loshan Asid, Lahirish Shehiriv Oiz Benafsho, that Mordechai, who represented the entire Jewish people, had took this daring move. Shlo yishtar b'lahibach b'shum oifan yiyeh sheyeh, and made a decision, and he loved the Jewish people in this. That yiyeh ma sheyeh, it could be that we're all going to get killed b'shum oifan. We're not going to bow down to him anymore. We're finished with Haman. That's it. Vaydezeh zochel ha'nais. And that is how the Jewish people were worthy of the nace, because when Hashem saw that, that's what was necessary. When we put on the perfume of fasting, of davening, of crying out to Hashem, when we cried to Hashem about our mistake, and we went forward, even though we felt that our past had been completely in the category of cursed as Haman, Hashem looked at us and said, Baruch Mordechai. And Hashem reached out the golden scepter and took us back to him. This is the deeper meaning of Ad Lo Yoda, till you don't know. What does it mean, till you don't know? In our religion, Das is a very, very important thing. It's very important that a Jew knows. And then we have this one time of the year where the greatest mitzvah is not to know. Ad Lo Yoda. Don't think so much. Don't know so much. Because if you would go only according to what you know, according to the facts of your life, according to what you know to be true, you never, ever would be able to get up and daven and learn and do a mitzvah, which is happening to many people. I mean, they do it. They might get up and do it because they've been doing it for so many years and they want to fit into a community and be part of something. But really, to do it with excitement, you have to reach a level of Ad Lo Yoda, I don't know. Meaning, I don't know whether I'm an Or Haman or Baruch Mordechai. That's not my cheshbon. I have one cheshbon. My cheshbon today, this moment, is that if I put on this perfume of this mitzvah, or if I do this favor for a friend, or if I say this chapter in the Siddur, this capital in the Siddur in Tehillim with all of my heart, this might be it. This might be the moment that I'll be so completely appealing to Hashem that he won't be able to hold himself back from me. Kivyoch. Rocky says, Shalom Yitzhak Yediyah v'havchana v'eza ofen yala b'yodim. Because if you think your whole life, how could I do this? The answer is you can't, because you're not worthy. And therefore, if you're unworthy, how dare you stand before the chamber of the king? Who do you think you are? How dare you even approach the king? And most people don't approach the king. Let's face it, most of us don't approach the king. We stand from a great distance, saying some things in the Siddur and putting on tefillin and keeping Shabbos, but only from a distance. But we don't go against the Malka. We're afraid to go near the king. Because we're afraid that we get near the king's going to go, ugh. He's going to hold his nose. And what happened on Purim is, Esther Malka went anyway, and she said, I'm trying to save the Jewish people. That's my cheshbon. I don't know what else, whatever else has been, but I'm trying to save the Jewish people. We can't even imagine how Esther felt about herself, because don't forget that she was living with Ahasuerus, right? And she must have felt that she was the lowest person in the world. And Esther Malka went, and she could have thought that she would die, that the king of all kings would hold his nose and say, you smell. Just like all of us think, how dare I approach the king? How dare I do this? How dare I do this mitzvah with all of my heart? How dare I think about this next part of tefillah, because it's a chutzpah. What a person like me. Hashem knows everything I've done wrong in my life. How dare I? So the Purim comes along and says, the only way that a miracle can happen to a Jew is Ad Lo Yoda, if he doesn't know. If you don't know, it's not your business between Or Haman and Baruch Mordechai. It's not your business to make a cheshbon. You and Or Haman and Baruch Mordechai. Your business is this moment. And this moment, you can put on the perfume of Esther Malka. And if you put that on, then the same way that Esther Malka was able to get to that point where even though she should have been killed, but the king was filled with her beauty and a sense of charm. Chayn is what it says about Esther Malka. Chayn. Which is something that anybody else would have said. Nah. That the king saw the chayn in her. In the essence, in the root of a Jewish soul, there is no difference. Because in the root of a Jew, he is purely good. Therefore, it's not a lie when you put on that perfume. It's the only true thing you've ever done. Because when a Jew does a mitzvah, it's the only true thing he's doing. It's when he's doing things that are wrong that's not real. But when you do a mitzvah, you're learning, you're davening, that's the truth of who you are. That's the shayrish. And Hashem finds it very appealing when you identify with that shayrish of who you are. In Hashem's eyes, that's something which he can't look away from. And that's how a person is able to feel simcha and purim, the simcha and purim that he can't feel other days of the year. Not even on Sukkot, when it's mansim chasein, with the purim, the simcha of purim is from a deeper place than even the yontif of Sukkot, which is hard for us to understand. Purim is a drabbanan. Because purim means the Jewish people. In a time of darkness, at a time where we felt totally lost, at a time where we felt totally unworthy, that afal pichen, we dressed in the royal garments, and we put on the perfume, we try to act like Jews. You know, there's a maisa from Sanzerov. It's a maisa from Devar Chaim. I'm sure some of you know this story. Maybe Annette, I saw this in your book. Correct me. I don't recall. But if not, I'm sure you know the Maisa. There was a Maisa from Sanzarov that. Just how it starts. Yeah, there was a certain Jew in Sanz who was trying to raise money to free somebody from prison, and he had done all that he could, and he couldn't. He was short. He was short like 1,000 rubles. He couldn't save this family, and. He had gone to every Jew already, and there was nothing that he could do. So he had one last hope. In Sanz, there was a bar, but it was a Yiddish bar. So all the Jews would hang out there. But these were the real riffraff. These were not the Yamcha, you know. These were not the Jews that went to shul. Even in those days, they had some chevra like that. So these were fellows that were totally not religious and very vulgar people. They were drinkers and gamblers. They would sit and play cards all day. They were... They're wasting their lives. So this fellow, whatever his name is, Yankele, so he had nobody else to ask for money. So here have Oiz Benafsho, he went with unbelievable daring, and he walked into the bar, and all these Jews are sitting there gambling and everything, and he walked over to the table, and right away they see, you know, Yankele with a long beard and pelis, and they start making fun and poking at him and joking. And Yankele says, listen, Sokosof, you know, you're Jews also. There's a Jewish family. Husband and wife and children, that the pirate, the landowner, threw them in jail. He's going to kill them. I'm trying to raise money. I need another 1,000 rubles, a huge amount of money. I need 1,000 rubles in order to get these Jews out. And you're also Jews. I beg of you to help me. So they start laughing. Oh, when are you coming to us? We don't do mitzvahs and so on. So he said, you're Yidden, you're Jews, brothers, please have rachmanis on a Jewish family. So finally, one of them says, listen, Yankel, you know what? I'll tell you what. On one condition. I myself will give you 1,000 rubles, but this is what I want you to do. I want you to put on, and they had over there, to put on the robe of a priest, the whole thing with the collar, the whole getup, in those days they wore a real, the whole lavush. I want you to put on the lavush of a priest, and to go, and one of us will carry you on our back, through the center main street of Sanz, the Jewish street of Sanz. And I don't remember, what was it that we were supposed to call out something, also to say something, to act like a drunk and say something embarrassing. And if you do this, I'll give you 1,000 rubles on the spot. So you can imagine, this was a very respected chassid in Sanz. Or he was visiting, maybe it wasn't in Sanz, in a different city. And he was a very, very, very respected chassid. And his whole life flashed before his eyes. He made a chesed, what am I going to do? These Jews are going to die if I don't do this. So he went and he put on the galach's outfit. And he went on someone's back and they were all laughing and drinking. And they paraded him through town. And kakava. And they gave him 1,000 rubles and he went with the galach suit, he ran. With the galach suit and the whole, he ran to give the money to take them out of jail. So the end of the Maisa was, and then maybe that's why it didn't happen in Sanz, right? The end of the Maisa was, is that the Divrei Chaim, the Sanzarov, was visiting that town. Now I don't remember which town it was in. He was going with the Tzaddik in that town, and the Sanzarov was walking down the street of the town, and all of a sudden the Sanzarov, the Divrei Chaim, all of a sudden said, he started to smell, and he said, in this house, I smell Gan Eden. I smell paradise coming from this house. So the one who was working with him said, this is so-and-so a house, knock on it, so Sanzarov, I have to see what's going on here. And they went to the house, the famous Sanzarov, they opened the door, Sanzarov went like, sniffing. He walked into the house, and he says, there's a Gan Eden in this house. And they said, they were simple Jews. And then the Sanzarov went, and he asked the Balabas, do you mind if I open the drawer? And the Balabas is turning, Yankel's turning a million different colors. Sanzarov pulls open the drawer, and takes out this Galak's outfit. Takes out the outfit of a priest. And the Sanzarov holds this, and he doesn't know whether to... He looks at this, and he says, this smells from Gan Eden. Can you explain what's going on here? How does this tumah have a smell of Gan Eden. And then he told over the mice, he said, I'll tell you the truth, I saved it because if I was able to save a Jewish family, I thought maybe in Olam Haba, I know it's crazy, I thought maybe it could save me in the next world. This garment, right? So that, I told it, I messed it up, yeah? But I, you know the story? I messed. But the basic thing I got right, and that's the basic, right, but some of the, out of order, I know. I hadn't seen it in many years. But the basic Maisa reveals this terror of Reb Leibler. That this Jew, when he did that, could you imagine how he felt? When he put on the Galax outfit, that was the lowest point in his life. And to be paraded in front of the whole town where he was respected, and to go like a drunk, like an idiot, it was the lowest moment of his life. And Davka, that moment gave him the smell of Gan Eden. Davka, that moment, he found the greatest chen in the eyes of Hashem, where he never, ever would have dreamt of it. He never would have thought that it's possible, that it's imaginable. And from that moment was the chen, was that fragrance of Chai Vinisal of Sumi Vipuria, which is also maybe why we dress up on Purim. The meaning of dressing up on Purim is maybe like that Maisa. You dress up on Purim. What's the pshat dressing up on Purim? That's itself a very deep Indian, to dress up on Purim. It's also Adaliyada, that even though a Jew looks like he dresses up like a Haman, so the Baruch Shalom sees through the Galach's outfit and knows who he really is. It's Adaliyada. We don't know in ourselves. We dress like Jews, but we act like Chalil, like Haman, but the Baruch Shalom is able to smell the fragrance of a Jew who does a mitzvah with all of his heart, who really, really serves Hashem. And it might be that he himself would never dream of it. That's Chayav Nishlam Sumi Purim. And on Purim, that Koyach is, we have access to that Koyach more than any other day of the year, because that's the whole Nes of Purim. The whole miracle of Purim happened in such a way. As we just learned. That's what Purim means. The whole Yom Tov of Purim. And that's why even the Pchusim B'Yoyser, even the lowest Jews on Purim, they're able to feel a sense of Hisayrus, because they are able themselves to smell a little bit of that fragrance. Therefore, one should certainly be careful when it comes to how this mitzvah of Chayav Nishlam Sumi Vipuria is observed these days, how it's observed. But even if you see sometimes a Jew that had a little bit too much to drink, and I know that I get very upset about these things, and I always speak about it before Purim, and I don't like what happens in many of the yeshivas, and there's scenes that are made. But afal pichein, even when a Jew acts like a drunk, then there's still an Indian of Adlai Adam and Aharman Baruch Mardechai. And we should think about that ourselves in our own lives with people that we know. Even though sometimes you see a person that he seems to be the biggest Rasha. God forbid. But you have to know that in the Rebbeinu Shlom's eyes, no matter how low a person has fallen, no matter how low, no matter how disgusting a person acted, that in the Rebbeinu Shlom's eyes, every Jew has a Nekuda of Chayin. Every Jew has a point of Chayin. And if that Jew would believe it, he'd be able to do tshuva the next day, that day, if he would believe in that. And this connected to the second page. If you turn to the next story, we're going to just a very short one, very quickly. The Purim kol apeshet yad naisnim lo. The din is, you know, that on Purim, you're not allowed to check it. When someone reaches out their hand to get tzedakah, you're not allowed to check into the rest of the year. You can check into a person. Who are you? You can make some phone calls, come back. I want to look into this a little bit. Unless the person looks like he's starving, gotcha, but then you have to right away. But otherwise, you're allowed to check into a person's credentials to come fit tzedakah. Purim is called a preshid yad naisnim. Purim, you're not allowed to check. You're not allowed to ask any shilas. Guy reaches out his hand. The din is, you don't have to give a lot, but you have to give. A Jew reaches his hand out. You have to give him. Called a preshid yad naisnim. We don't have anything like that the rest of the year. Just Purim. So Rav Leibel explains. Everybody knows that according to the Tikkun Zohar and the Ariya Kaddish, that Yom Kippur and Purim are two halves of one whole unit. That's why Purim is, and Yom Kippur, Yom Kippurim, right? That Yom Kippur is Kippurim, which the Rishna has said, which is greater. The Rishna has said, if it's Yom Kippurim, it means that Purim is even greater, right? Because it's only saying Yom Kippur is like Purim. I mean, Nitlim and me. Who depends on who? Yom Kippur depends on Purim. Yom Kippurim. So, Valzer Roim is Yom Kippurim. Yom Kimo Purim. That Purim is a day like Yom Kippur. I mean, Yom Kippur is, I said the other way. Yom Kippur is a day like Purim. Purim is greater. What happens when you have a couple that there was separation between them? So husband and wife, they had a disagreement, they had a fight, and they're separated. So he says there was a couple that had this problem, He says, "Vilushtei sibus lofamim mitzad hamashpia." Now they can make up, but how? There are two ways of making up. He says sometimes he says Reb Leibler mitzad hamashpia. Sometimes the mashpia is usually associated with the male, right? So sometimes it's mitzad the mashpia, the one who is in charge, so to speak, of the family, the masculine color from the family. Sometimes the mashpia is shenisratzev and espais mitzida levayeshgiyah chalarishaynis v'mayir hashalom. Sometimes the one who initiates the peace process is the one who is the mashpia who says, let's not look over any of the past problems that we've had. Let's try from now on to live b'shalom. Let's ignore the past. Let's make up. So sometimes he begins, the mashpia. Sometimes it begins with the one who is the makabel, usually associated with the feminine here, but it doesn't mean dafka husband or wife, but it means the makabel who decides, who perhaps she initiates the peace negotiations, that maybe something went wrong, maybe I did something wrong, but let's try to forget about it and make up. This is the meaning of Yom Kippurim, because this is the difference between Yom Kippur and Purim. What? Yom Kippur, the Baruch Shalom initiates the peace process. He's Ma'al Rishonis, and Yom Kippur, the Baruch Shalom says, I'm prepared to forgive you and forget everything that's happened in the past. And Yom Kippur, he's Ma'al Rishonis. Like we say, Nila, Ata Noisen Yad La Paishan. Right? Nila, at the end of Yom Kippur, we say, Hashem, you're so kind because you reach out your hand to the greatest sinners. So in Yom Kippur, Hashem reaches out and says, he says to us, let's forget about the past. Let's start again. Ata Noisen Yad La Paishan. Hashem is the one who's reaching out, reaching down. Let's say you read the lowest Jews of Peshaya. These are the ones who rebelled against God. These are not people who made a mistake. And still Hashem reaches down and says, yeah, there were things that were wrong. You hurt me, and there were things that you don't understand about what I did. But Hashem is nice in the other place, Yom Kippur. He starts. And he reaches down to even the lowest Jew. Hashem is brought makar love kiv yachon Yom Kippur. Hashem is makar the person. But Purim is a different thing. What's Purim? Over Purim, anu noisnim hayad. On Purim, we initiate the process. Purim is a yontif that's not from the Torah. It's from the Rabban, it's from the Chacham, it comes from the Jewish people, Purim. It doesn't come from Hashem. Hashem never told us to read the Megillah. Hashem never told us to make a yontif Purim. We did. It's our decision. We initiated it. We initiated this business. Sha'anu poishtim yad l'kabel oisam. That what? That we reach out our hand begging Hashem to take us back, to forgive us. We reach out our hands. On Yom Kippur, Hashem reaches His hand to us to take us. On Purim, we reach our hand to Hashem. On Purim, we accepted the Torah again. It was our decision, not like the first time when the Torah was lowered upon us, where the mountain was held over our heads, where we were forced. But this time we said we want the Torah. L'kabel alatzmenu me'ato, l'chadesh ma'asein l'toiv, that we want to be good. We want to start again. Zo kala poshed yad naisnim lo. And that's the promise of Purim, that whoever reaches his hand out, whoever is poor, whoever you are, no matter what you've done in your life, on Purim, if you put out your hand to Hashem for a handout, naisnim lo, the Baruch Shalom will give you his hand. Kala poshed yad naisnim lo. That will be accepted. This is the reason why Purim and Yom HaKippurim together are able to bring, together form this one koyach, to bring about this one mitzias, Purim and Yom Kippurim. And that's why, this is obviously connected to the Torah that we did before, that's why when it comes to Purim we see that Davke in this world, the inyan of Shalach Manas, Matanas Dev Yainim, to give to Jews, to do for other Jews, because since it's a day of unbelievable hiskarvus, of an unbelievable closeness to Hashem, so therefore, it's also the greatest opportunity to be able to reach out to other Jews as well, to be able to reach out to other people, or for people to reach towards us, who, so it's a day of pius, just like Yom Kippur is a day Everybody in Yom Kippur, every Yom Kippur, they say, Yimoichel me, Yimoichel me. Yimoichel me. So Purim, we don't do that. You don't say, Yimoichel me. It's a shayl on Purim. It's not a shayl on Purim. Purim, a Jew drinks a l'chaim, Gendi. L'chaim means that we don't have to, let's not even talk about it. And Yom Kippur, you have to go through the whole Seder Hayyim of Yom Kippur. On Purim, the other Rabbi Purim, you eat and you drink, you have a good time, it's l'chaim, it's a shayl, of course I forgive you. It's not even a shayl. Yom Kippur is, the avoid of Yom Kippur is only Kippurim. Purim's on the highest in the dragon. So I think that this is a good way to complete this period of time that we spend studying the teachings of this great tzaddik of Label Egon. And I think that you'll agree with me that you've rarely seen such chizuk given in Torah as the kind of chizuk that Rabbi Label was giving to these last few generations before Mashiach would come, that he understood how desperately we needed that hand. And Rabbi Label was a pleasure gyat to us, that he reached out to us and he gave us such unbelievable chizuk. It would definitely be kedai. Now the problem is getting the Sefer Torah Zemes. It's very hard to get. It was reprinted a few years ago, then it's already out of print. But sometimes there are some copies that surface. It would definitely, I think that you've had a taste. Those of you who are able to learn this from a Kedoshim and feel comfortable, the greatest nachas that the tzaddik would have is that we would be learning his Torahs. And that's certainly not stopping with the fact that we're ending here. And the Midrashim next week, as I said before, we're going to begin to talk about the Yid HaKadosh, the Holy Jew, from Pshischa, and the whole school of Polish Chassidus, and to understand. But there, we're not going to have Torahs like this. In Pshischa, Kutsk, very short and to the point, not a label of pouring this heart out. But it all comes, Mirai Echad, it comes from that one shepherd that we spoke about, who we learned about, the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, that we should be Zarechim et Hashem to walk in their holy ways and to emulate their ways. And in that schus, that the tzaddikim, the tzaddik should be Melitz Yosef, each and every one of us. In our generation, there aren't so many people that study these things. It's becoming more and more. As we get close to Mashiach, there's more of an excitement over these Torahs. But our Shreinim HaTorah Chalkeinu, that we're fortunate to be among those that have the schus to learn these Torahs. And Hashem should help us to continue. To be Zarechim for the Gula Hashem, Amen.